The theme tonight is Bury the Hatchet. Now, next weekend, this coming weekend, is the big game. The annual rivalry between the Stanford and Cal football teams. It's a rivalry that's gone on for more than 100 years. And every year, the winner of the team gets to keep the trophy for the whole following year. And the trophy is an axe. And there's a long history of that axe. That axe has existed for about 100 years as well. And sometimes the axe has been stolen and squirreled away. I mean, this axe is a big deal to win the axe. And so the Stanford football team and the Cal football team get together and they battle it out once a year to have the honor of having the axe. Now, when I was a kid, I loved the Stanford, as they were known back then, the Stanford Indians. I really loved the football team. I followed closely the Stanford football team, who in 1971 and 1972 won back-to-back Rose Bowls. And when I was a kid, I used to go to their practices in order to get close to the players that I idolized. And I was lucky enough in 1971 to go to the Rose Bowl, where the Stanford Indians defeated the Ohio State Buckeyes, led by the Heisman-winning trophy Jim Plunkett, the quarterback, and coached by John Ralston, who actually lived across the street from our family. And so the Stanford Indians won the axe for that year. I also love the Stanford band, the Stanford University marching band, but they're not a marching band, they're kind of an anti-marching band. If you've ever seen them, you know that they are a ragtag bunch, but they play great music. Back then, and probably still now, their halftime shows were politically charged. They always had a political message. And instead of marching to formations, they would run chaotically to their formations. And they would dress somewhat the same. And during the 1971 Rose Parade, which I also was lucky enough to attend, they rented 50 golf carts and went down the parade route, two to a golf cart, and that's how they went down the Rose Parade, which was in stark contrast to the Ohio State Buckeye Band, which were spit and polish. So I loved the Stanford Indians. Now, in 1971 and 1972, and this is a little research part that I did, a group of students and faculty from Stanford University approached the president of the university and asked that the name, the mascot name, the Indians, be changed. Because they were a group of Native American students and faculty, and some of them had actually helped lead the occupation of Alcatraz. And part of what prompted them to do this is the Stanford Indian mascot at that time was called Prince Lightfoot. And during before every football game, Prince Lightfoot, who was a Native American, he was an Indian, dressed up in Plains Indian regalia, feather headdress, and he would do a war dance and put a hex on the other football team. And back then, nobody really thought much about it because political correctness wasn't really the verbiage of the day, and nobody really looked at it from the Native American perspective, that it might be somewhat offensive, until this group of students and faculty approached the president. And so the president agreed with them, and in 1973, the year after they won the Rose Bowl, their second Rose Bowl, it was agreed that they would change their name from the Stanford Indians to the Stanford Cardinal, as they are today. Now, one would think with my experience of growing up and idolizing Stanford University, and that one wouldn't be surprised if I went a similar route, if I got a stellar high school record and then went right into university and then got a stellar university record. But my life took a little bit of a diversion. After high school, I was in and out of junior college, and then I moved up to Humboldt County, where this was my coming of age time. I was about 19 and 20, where I was on an adventure. And I got involved up there in the culture that you would think that one would get involved with in Humboldt County. And so it was not only an adventure for me, it was a somewhat hazy adventure at that. Now, I stayed part of the time way up in the hills east of Arcata. You take Highway 299 about an hour and a half to Willow Creek, and then you take Highway 96 north along the Trinity River to the place where the Trinity River and the Klamath River come together. And it's a place called Witchpeck, where I spent part of my time. And stayed part of my time, and it's Indian country there. The Hoopa tribe lives along the Trinity River there, and then along the Klamath is the Yurok Kerok tribes. And at that time, I got a lot of my rides by hitchhiking. This was a time when hitchhiking was common, and I loved hitchhiking. Just like I take the bus a lot too, and I just love taking the bus because you meet so many interesting people. And for instance, some of the people up there, it's a wondrous place, and the people are wondrous. And some of them up there said, well, have you gotten a ride from Peaches yet? And I said, no. And they said, oh, so Peaches will give you a ride sometime. He's a really nice guy. Everybody liked him, but he's the only gay Indian that lived up there. And sure enough, one time I got picked up by Peaches, and he gave me a ride all the way to Eureka, where he worked at the university. And he was a really nice guy, and he was gay. Another time I got picked up, I was 19 or so, I got picked up by a single, beautiful, blonde woman who had pretty much, I think, only one thing on her mind. It was like a hitchhiker's dream. But I didn't know what to do. You know, I was just like, so nothing happened. But that's the way it goes. And then one day I was in Arcata, and I got a ride going up to the river. I got a ride from a guy who was an Indian guy, and he was a really nice guy. And we went up to, he gave me a ride, and we were just chatting as we always do. And he said, well, where are you from? And I said, oh, well, I live part of my time in Southern California. I live part of my time in Northern California. He said, oh, where? And I said, oh, around the Bay Area. And he said, oh, yeah. I used to hang out there quite a bit. And I said, oh, really? Oh, where are you now? And he said, oh, I live up here. I work for, it was like a Indian Affairs or Indian Rights Group or something like that, or Health Group or something. It was something promoting promoting the Indians up there. I said, oh, that's pretty Indian. He said, yeah, I used to spend a lot of time in the Bay Area. I used to be, I used to work for Stanford University. And I said, oh, what did you do? And he said, oh, I used to be their mascot. I would do a pregame show every time, and I'd do like a dance, a hex dance on the other team. And I looked at him and said, you're not Prince Lightfoot, are you? He said, yeah, that's who I am. I said, that is so weird. For me, it was such a weird confluence of my past life and my present. And I said, you know, I used to love watching you and the whole deal. And he said, yeah, I love doing it too. And so we just continued our conversation. He was just a super guy. It turns out that he had been the mascot. He'd been Prince Lightfoot at the university for 20 years. And he was really proud of the role he'd taken. And he didn't look at it as a, for him, it wasn't wasn't demeaning or anything. He thought he was promoting Native Americans, and looking back at it now, it obviously was, you know, a little askew. But he did it for 20 years, and he really battled when they changed the name. He really wanted to keep on doing it, but in 1973, he didn't do it anymore. And since that time when I saw him, that was about 1980, he'd just been battling for Native American rights and Indian rights and Indian health and so on and so forth. And I just thought it's just a strange world. And I discovered that he was killed in a car crash in 1987. So that's my story.